of Psalms, please. The 21st Psalm. In your Scofield Bible, page 608, 608. We'll be reading the first seven verses of Psalm 21, and we'll read the verses responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice! Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. This third verse is the text verse. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. And let's read the seventh together. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. And Father, thank you that we get to open our Bibles together in this place. We sometimes forget what a privilege and joy it is to own a copy of this thy word. And sometimes we forget, too, the privilege of the freedom that we have of gathering in a place such as this. How sweet thy blessings are. How privileged these thy people are. Blessed today in a very special way. This service, the preaching, and the hearing of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen.
You need not turn to it, but I want to read one little verse of the several that you read a while ago. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. That word prevent in the Bible is a very interesting word. It includes the meaning of our word prevent. It also means more than that. It means go before. It means to get in front of somebody. Like you say, somebody got my line and prevented me from being next. That's what it means, to go before somebody. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. When the rapture comes, we will not go before them. They will rise and together be caught up to the Lord in the air, and we will not prevent them. So when it says in verse 3, for thou preventest him with blessings of goodness, it says that God goes before us with blessings of goodness to get ready for us. I want to speak this morning on the subject, don't be afraid of tomorrow. God is already there. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. God is already there. Our Heavenly Father, thou hast brought us to this place, and thou hast given us a wonderful book. I used to worry when I was a young preacher what I was going to do when I got the Bible all preached up. And now I look at these verse after verse, even word after word, and wonder how in the world, in a one brief lifetime, I can ever even preach a part of it. But this is a beautiful text. I pray you'd help us to do justice to it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow me carefully as I lay the foundation for what I'm going to say. The Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a little piece of furniture, in size, something about the size of the communion table in front of me. It was a little piece of furniture, the top of which was pure gold and was called the mercy seat. All on the top of the pure gold mercy seat, there were two cherubim beaten from pure gold, and their wings hovered over the mercy seat. In the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. Now, when the Israelites, by the way, above that Holy of Holies, was above the Ark of the mercy seat, was the glory of God representing God's presence. Now, God told the people, he said, everywhere you go, you put that Ark of the Covenant in front, and that's the first thing that's supposed to go. There's a family called the family of the Kohathites, and they were the ones to carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had rings on every corner and staves, or big long sticks that went through those rings, and they would carry the Ark of the Covenant, covered, of course, so nobody could look upon it, and he would always go before them. Now, wait a minute. Everywhere that Ark of the Covenant went was the power of God, because God was with the Ark of the Covenant, and God's glory rested above the Ark of the Covenant as they traveled. And so David, by the way, in the 21st Psalm, the Ark of the Covenant had been away from God's people and from God's city for some time. Now then, David was bringing this Ark of the Covenant back to the city, and so he remembers how it had always led them. As the Israelites crossed the wilderness, as they traveled, the Ark of the Covenant was always out in front. Or, if you please, God was always out in front, preceding them. And then, when they walked across the Red Sea, the Jordan River, the Ark of the Covenant was there. And it was first. In fact, it went into the waters first. When they went around the city of Jericho for 13 times, the Ark of the Covenant was out in front. And the first battle they lost was the Battle of Ai. And the reason they lost the Battle of Ai was because they did not take the Ark of the Covenant with them. You're not going to win without Jesus. You're not going to do it. You let God out in front. He's to lead you. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, 'tis by His hand He leadeth me. And so God leads you, you're in good shape. You lead yourself, you're in bad shape. God leads you, you have promised victory. You lead yourself, you have certain defeat. And so what was happening here was David said, thinking about that little Ark of the Covenant, he said, boy, it's going to be good to get that Ark back again. It's going to be mighty good to have that Ark out in front of us all the time. And then he gives my text. He says, for thou preventest him with blessings of goodness, or thou dost go before man, and you get ready for man before man ever gets there. Now I want to look at tomorrow for a few minutes. Look right this way and follow me carefully. I want to look at tomorrow for a few minutes. I want to say several things about tomorrow. See, you're afraid about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm worried about tomorrow. How are we going to eat tomorrow? Will I be well tomorrow? Can I make it tomorrow? I've got some problems tomorrow. Will I have enough wisdom tomorrow? Will I have enough strength tomorrow? I want to talk to you for a while about tomorrow. The first thing I want to say is, He's there. He's there. He's there. The little girl said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And He's there. That's all I want. He's there. Hey, if he's already there, why should I worry about tomorrow? He's there. I'd rather be in trouble where He is than on topside where He's not. I'd rather be sick where He is than well where He isn't. So He's already there. God is already there. So, look, hey, that's good news, isn't it? Whatever tomorrow holds for you, He's already there. He's there getting ready for you. And whatever you need, I better get hold of that. That's later on. I'll get through the sermon too quick. And there's nothing as bad as running out of soap at 11:45. So I got to save some soap for after a while. You preachers know what I'm talking about. It's 11:45, and the sermon is over. And you know the Bible says you're not supposed to finish preaching until 12 o'clock. And so I better save that for after a while. All right? He's there. Hey, I like that. He's there. Not only is He here with me today, He's there where I'm going to be. He's already where I'm going to be tomorrow. Now, that means I don't have to be afraid. He's going to be there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so, if he's there, then I have no fear about tomorrow, because He's going to be able to take care of everything. Now, the second thing I want to say about tomorrow, not only is He there, but He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He already knows. If something happens to you tomorrow, if you have a wreck, God's not going to say, oh, my soul, uh-oh. No, God won't say that. He knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. Now, don't miss that now, because that's the foundation for after a while. He knows what is going to happen to you tomorrow. All right? Now, if He knows it, and He's there, then why fret? Now, the third thing I want to say about tomorrow is this. One, He is there. Two, He knows what's going to happen. Three, He will be with you. What more would you want? Why don't you quit fretting about what's going to happen and rejoice about who's going to be there? See, He will be with you. If tomorrow brings victory, He will share that victory with you. If tomorrow brings sorrow, He will share that sorrow with you. If tomorrow brings heartbreak, He will share that heartbreak with you. If tomorrow brings death, He'll be there. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with
me. Good night. I'd rather die with Jesus than live without him. And so whatever happens tomorrow, that brings it back to that little story I often tell here, one of my favorite stories. A little girl in our church was watching a television set one Saturday, a children's program. And all of a sudden, she runs to her mother in the living room and begins to holler, "Mama, Mama, Mama, call Brother Hiles and see if he's in town." And the mother said, "Well, why, honey?" She said, "Don't have time, Mama." Little four-year-old girl, so, "My Mama, call him now, see if he's in town. Don't have time to tell you why. Mama, call him right now, see if he's in town." The mother said, "Honey, why should I call Brother Hiles and see if he's in town?" She said, "Mama, hurry, I'll tell you after you do it." And she said, "I'm not going to call you. Tell me why you want to know if Brother Hiles is now." She said, "Cause it just came on the television with an announcement and said a tornado is coming toward Hammond. And if Brother Hiles is in town, a tornado wouldn't dare come through Hammond. If Brother Hiles is in town, a tornado is already in Hammond." But that's sort of what it's saying. If Jesus is there, I don't care what your problem is. He'll be able to take care of it. Whatever it is. Now quit fretting. Look. We worry so much about tomorrow, we don't enjoy today. I mean, I love that verse I was reading the other day. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Think about that for a minute. I want to preach on that. I started preaching on that this morning, but I had to preach on this. I am a very present help. Now, I'm using next Sunday morning sermon, so you won't have to come back next Sunday morning. Don't you dare. But anyway, a very present help in time of trouble. Now, look. Three positives there. If he said he is a help, that's present tense. He is now a help. But he said he is a present help. Well, what was the word present there for? I don't need that. He is a help. That's already present help. God wants to underline it. He is not only a help. He is a help. That's enough. But he's a present help. But then he says he's a very present help. Well, how much more very can you get than present? What God is saying, he's pinpointing. He is saying right now, at this very moment, he is your help. But that isn't all, bless God. When you get to tomorrow, he will have already been there. He is there. He knows what's going to happen. He will be with you when you get there. Why don't you just sort of relax and let him do the driving? Look, you can't do a single thing about God's provincial will and plan for your life. Not anything in the world you can do about tomorrow. Every once in a while somebody said, "Brother Hiles, I just had some tests made. A doctor ran some tests. Would you pray they'll be all right?" Too late. Tests have already run. "Would you pray the tests will be all right?" I guess you won't be praying God to change the test. But I'm saying he will be there. Listen, grab it. Shake it. Get a hold of it. This is more than a Bible verse. This is more than something to preach on to fill up 30 minutes on Sunday morning. Whatever happens to you tomorrow, Jesus will be there. And he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And he will be with you. Number four, not only is he there, he knows what's going to happen, he will be with you. But number four, he is preparing just enough power for you for tomorrow to meet the needs of tomorrow. Number five, whatever it will be within you, whatever it is, it will be within your ability to handle. Do you hear me? Whatever happens to you tomorrow, okay, I said, he's already there. He knows what's going to happen. He will be with you. He is preparing enough power for you to make it. And whatever it is, it will be within your ability to handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we use it so often. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful," hear me now, "and will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able." God, whatever happens tomorrow, your strength and grace and power will be more than what you need. So, he is preparing just enough strength. Now, it's up to you to appropriate that strength. You say, "Brother Hiles, I can't take any more." Oh, yes, you can. Because he's going to give you a bigger taker when more comes. "Brother Hiles, I've gone as far as I can go." Oh, no, you've not gone as far as you can go. Whatever you have upon you is exactly what you can take, because God will not put anything upon you that you don't have strength to bear. Now listen to me. Quit your griping. Quit your fretting. Quit your complaining. Man said amen back here a while ago. If you knew what Judson Mitchell's been through. But every time he came to a heavier burden, God gave him extra strength. Every time he came to a heavier problem, God gave him extra grace. And that leads me to say this too. He is preparing just enough grace for tomorrow, according to your need. You don't need tomorrow's grace today. Somebody said, if I went through what that fellow went through, I couldn't take it. Oh, yes, you could, because you've had enough grace to go through what you've been through. But if God puts you what he's been through, he'll give you the grace he gave that fellow and give you more grace. God's not bankrupt on grace. God's not bankrupt on strength. What I wish I could do is I wish I could teach you to enjoy today and quit fretting about tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow. Fool you on tomorrow. Hallelujah for today. God's an I am God. But brother, he's already there tomorrow, preparing for your arrival. One year ago, somebody told me what I was going to go through in the last year. I said, I can't take it. But every day, whatever the load has been, the strength has been just that much more. And whatever the burden has been, the grace has been just that much more. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you believe in God? Why don't you decide that you're going to put... Hey! Nothing is impossible with him. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, how am I going to make it? Brother House, I've got something coming up. I don't know how I can stand it. Well, God in heaven knows you got it coming up. He knows when it's coming up. He's already there waiting for you. And he will give you grace to meet whatever your problem or burden is. Glory to God. Praise God. Tomorrow, whatever it is, he's there with enough grace and power. Let me tell you the story here. This is a funny story. So listen carefully. David said, the ark's coming back tomorrow. And he said, God is out in front of us. Whatever happens tomorrow, God is preventing us, preceding us with blessings. He's there. And he'll give us whatever strength we need. What David didn't know was what his wife was going to do tomorrow. You see, David had an enemy whose name was Saul. Saul tried to kill David and couldn't do it. So you know what he did to him? Worse than death. He pawned his daughter off on David. Saul had a Jezebel daughter named Michal. Saul said, if I can't kill him with a spear, I'll kill him with my daughter. And David wished the spear hit him. So David married Saul's daughter. He was married to Saul's daughter when this psalm was written. But he did not know. Tomorrow, the ark came back. Let me have this mic right here. Anybody home up there? The ark came back. And David had a little First Baptist blood in him. Little Howells Anderson blood in him. He had a little Jack Howells blood in him. And David got happy every once in a while. He wasn't like Episcopalian Baptist. He was a happy Baptist. And he got happy. And so when David looked down, see, that ark had been gone for a long time. Been down in the Philistines. And everywhere that ark went, I've got so many things I won't tell you right now, I don't know what to talk about. But everywhere that ark went, it caused trouble. Everywhere, listen, don't you mess with God's power. The Philistines said, if we can get that little piece of furniture and take it back home, then we'll have the same power those Jews have had. We found out it was that little piece of furniture that's been causing their power. And they got it and they tiptoed back to Philistia with it. And they said, now, we'll have the power of God. And brother, they did have the power of God. Next morning, every one of them woke up with a disease I can't even call in public. It's an R-rated disease. And they woke up with it. And they said, good night, this thing's causing us trouble. Power of God will always cause you trouble if you're not in the will of God. And so they said, we better take it over here. And that next city got the same, Ashdod got the same disease. And they said, we're going to take that ark and send it back home. And David sends to get the ark. And the ark comes back home. And David looks at him, and David starts to dance and praising God. Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! And he dances around that ark, just having a spell. And up yonder in the window of the palace was Michael. Miss Michael. Ms. Michael. Flusy. Highbrow. Snob. She looks down out of the window. She says, look at that. The king. Shouting like he was in chapel at Howells Anderson College. That's beneath the dignity of a king. Let the pagans shout. Let the poverty-stricken peons shout. Let the peasants shout. But a king. And the Bible says she hated him because he shouted. But David is dancing around that ark. Now, wait a minute. Why could David dance with his wife up there nagging? I know what she said. You know what she said. You're making a fool out of yourself. There you are. The throne is yours. You're the biggest man in this country. Look at you. Acting like a bus kid. Look at you. Dancing. But David said yesterday, whatever came tomorrow, God would be there already. He did not know his own wife was going to call him a fanatic tomorrow. But I don't care what comes tomorrow. He's there. He's there. He's already there. I know some folks today who are concerned about this week. Let me tell you, wherever you go this week, our God is there. He's already there. He's getting ready for you to come. He's preparing things for you. David said, don't be afraid of tomorrow. God is already there. I said, number one, he's there. Number two, he knows what's going to happen. Number three, he will be with you when you get there. Number four, he is preparing enough power for you for tomorrow, even now. Number five, whatever it is, whatever it will be, you will be within your ability to handle. Number six, he is preparing you just enough strength to handle whatever happens tomorrow. Number seven, he is preparing just enough grace for whatever comes tomorrow. I've often told you about my mama. My mama was afraid to die. Earlene will vouch for that. If she wants to continue working at Howells Anderson College, she will vouch for that. Earlene's my sister. But mother was afraid to die. Mother wouldn't look at a corpse many times. She wouldn't talk about death. She wouldn't use the word death. Mother, all her days, was afraid of death. But what Mama didn't know was that God doesn't give you grace to die while you're alive. God gives you grace to die when you die. And I wish you could have seen her. I wish you could have watched my mama. Brother, you could just see that grace flowing. You could see that little body and that little spirit being lifted as I'd walk in. And Mama would say, son, I won't be here very long. Teach me some more about heaven. That didn't sound like my mama. My mama wouldn't even talked about it. My mama said, teach me some more about heaven. I'd open the Bible. I could not read often because I was weeping. And I thank God I'd quoted, learned, memorized some scriptures about heaven. And I'd memorized and quote scriptures about heaven. And my little mother would say, isn't that wonderful? And we'd sing together, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us. You like it? Prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we'd sing together. And then we'd sing, oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day.
and we'd sing it and hold hands, and I'd read some more Bible, and then we'd sing again. And my little mama, oh, time and time again, she'd say, there's Uncle Harvey, and there's Aunt Jimmy, and there's Uncle Basil, and there's Aunt Gerald, and there's my two daughters, there's Lorraine and Hazel, and my mother slipped off into, and while she died, they were singing. And when we buried her, we sang the Victory in Jesus. I'm simply saying, lady, look, I saw that little woman go through everything but hell itself. And I saw God's grace. I saw her starved to death, nearly, but I saw God's grace. I saw her without any coat to keep her warm, but I saw God's grace. I saw her, my daddy would hit her, knock and cause her mouth to bleed, but I saw God's grace. What am I saying? I'm saying I know what I'm talking about. There is a God who's already at tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we believe in Him? Trust Him? And then while Mama was dying, you know what God was doing? He was already in heaven getting ready for her. He already had Psalm 103 verses 1 and 2 on a plaque put in her room. He already had Sweet Hour of Prayer playing on the stereo when Mama got to heaven. He already had cottage cheese on the table. It's her favorite food. She ate it with a bucket full. He already had a big bunch of cottage cheese on the table. And he had my picture on the wall. Huge picture. And one about that big of Erlene on the wall. Hey, how about this verse? You know it, but you don't know it. Let not your heart be troubled. I have a sermon I used to preach on God's cure for heart trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. One, believe in God. Number two, believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Jesus. Number three, in my Father's house are many mansions. Believe in heaven. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Hear me. For you. My favorite color is green. My favorite green is sort of a yellow green. My spine is solid yellow. My favorite color, I'd say my favorite color would be color yellow green, light green. That's why everything we do here is either gold or green. But I like light green. Well, my mansion's going to be in light green. And I wouldn't be surprised, but when I get to heaven, the first thing I'll see is a carton of Reese's peanut butter cups waiting on the table. He's preparing a place for me. He's already there. Hey, He gave me my favorite color. He gave me eyes to that would like a certain color. He gave me an appetite that would like certain food. In fact, in my case, all food. Well, bless God, when I get to heaven, there's going to be a quarter pounder with cheese sitting right there on the counter. And a diet, no, a real Dr. Pepper. The other day I was sitting in a hotel room and I laughed at myself sick. I laughed and I laughed. I was eating my third Reese's peanut butter cup and drinking a diet Dr. Pepper. I mean, two Reese's peanut butter cup wrappers on the bed in the motel room, one in my hand, one peanut butter cup in my hand, and a diet Dr. Pepper. It worked. Dr. Pepper. But anyway, God in heaven knows my taste. He knows what I like. God is right there, right now, preparing a place for me with my taste and my preferences. I do not know what in the world tomorrow holds for me. But I do know the one who holds tomorrow. And I know that whatever tomorrow holds, I know He is going to be there. Now, there are all kinds of burdens here this morning. All kinds. Heartaches and problems. All kinds of tomorrows you dread. I know somebody tomorrow going to have a heart test. What do you call it? Angiogram, Michaelgram, one of the Zacharies, I know, I forgot which one. But angiogram, tomorrow, little lady's going to have an angiogram. What does it mean? It means that she's going to find out tomorrow if she has heart condition or not, if she has bypass surgery or not. Now, she sits here right now this morning,
And it's easy to be awful apprehensive. But I want to say to you, ma'am, I want to say to you that He is already there. He is all, and He knows the result of those tests already. Now listen, if He knows the result of those tests already, He's getting ready to give you what you need regardless of what the results of the test are. Whatever grace you need, you'll get it. But Brother Howes, I don't have it. You don't have to have it today. You have to have it tomorrow. Lady here, Tuesday, they're going to the old clinic. To be quite frank with you, she's a little nervous, a little scared, just like I would be or you would be. But she need not be, because our God is already up there at the old clinic getting ready. And He knows what's going to happen. He knows what the tests are going to be. And He knows exactly what she's going to need, regardless how those tests turn out. I know a lady here whose husband just ran off with somebody else. And tomorrow, she's going to face a heartache, a trouble, a trial. I do not know what is going to happen. Maybe he's going to get some sense and come back home. Look at me. Maybe he's going to get some sense and come back home. Maybe not. Maybe tomorrow she'll have to get a job of her own, move to a little place that she can afford, and rear the children. I don't know what it is, but I know. God will give you the grace and strength and power that you need when tomorrow gets here. I'm not in a young squirt. I've been around a while. I've been through a heap of battles and a lot of scars on my soul and on my life. And I've seen the enemy time and time again. But let me stop and testify and then I'll close. Let me stop and praise God for a minute. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. What does tomorrow hold for you, John? It holds Herod executing me, my head being placed in a platter. That's what it holds. Well, John, I'm out there tomorrow. I'm getting ready for you. I'm getting a homecoming all ready for you. We got a big banner across heaven saying, "Welcome home, John." I was all ready for you tomorrow. I don't want to die. I want to live. I love to live. Nobody enjoys life any more than I do. I've got life all over me, all inside of me. I got life. I got dreams and plans and hopes. If you knew all the hopes I got, you would faint right now. If you knew all the buildings I'm going to build, you'd join another church, because you're going to have to pay for them. I got dreams and hopes and plans, brother. I'm 63 years old, but I wiggle more now than I used to wiggle. And I plan more now than I used to plan. And I shout more now than I used to shout. But I'll guarantee you one thing. That airplane goes down tomorrow. You pick up the phone, the newspaper or the radio and turn it on. It says this plane crashed on the way to Michigan. You just rest assured, brother, when that plane hit the ground, old Jack had grace he needed. Dr. Bob Gray was on an airplane one day, and he didn't like to fly much anymore. Dr. Gray and Dr. Curtis Hudson, he just don't like to fly at all. He quotes the scripture. The Lord said, "Lo, I am with you, not high, I am with you." But Dr. Bob Gray said he was on an airplane, and that thing all of a sudden just dropped straight down several thousand feet. I said, "Dr. Gray, were you afraid it was going to crash?" He said, "Not at all. I knew it wasn't going to crash." I said, "You mean you knew for sure it wasn't going to crash? The thing was just dropping." "Yes, I knew for sure." I said, "How did you know?" He said, "Because I'd always read that when your time comes to die, God gives you dying grace, and I didn't have it." My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Sing it. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. So sit up straight, look tomorrow square in the eye and say, "Buster, don't know what you got for me."
But I'm not going to worry about it because I know who's there and know He's all getting it all ready for me. So I'm going to live it up today. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful, blessed assurance.